Glory to God. Let's open in prayer. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your wonderful blessing in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you, Lord, that you want us to grow up, to increase. I thank you for that, Lord. I ask every person here have ears to hear and to listen and hear what the Spirit has to say in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now I pray this morning that you do have ears to hear, because this is a very important message to the Victorious Church. In fact, the church, as we discovered last time in part one, we discovered that the church was so important to God that he purchased it with his own blood. That's what Acts 20 verse 28 says. So let's have a look at that scripture to get it in our hearts afresh. Acts 20 verse 28. It's so valuable to God. So valuable to God that he was willing to come to earth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was God manifest in the flesh. And he was willing to go through the crucifixion, shed his blood, means gave out his blood, and paid the price, which is the most valuable price possible, his blood, to purchase the church. And if God thinks the church is valuable, how much more should we? We should be in agreement with God in this. And you will recall that Paul sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. He's talking to the local church here. And this is what he says in verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now you look at that scripture, and yes, God has purchased the church universal, and in particular, this scripture is talking about God has purchased the church local as well, because as you can see there, they couldn't feed the flock unless they were overseers of a local congregation, the flock that they could feed, obviously feeding with the Word of God, because the Bible talks about the Word being food for us spiritually. So here we see that the Holy Ghost makes people overseers, and that the church itself has been purchased with the blood of God. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Ephesians 5, because what we're wanting to see is God wants his people growing and being perfected in faith. We looked at how valuable the church is to God. We looked a bit about our victorious position, that all things are under our feet, and what Christ has made us and what he wants for the church. And we're going to be touching in this series on Bible prophecy about what God is looking for the church to be doing right to the end of time. And we see something here in Ephesians 5 which touches on what's going to happen prior to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And so it's important for us to get into our hearts exactly what God is going to be doing and is indeed doing in the churches right across this city and across this nation. And we'll see that there is a great work that God is doing, starting from verse 25 of Ephesians 5 and going to verse 27. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." So what do we see? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me emphasize that. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. As far as God is concerned, the church is very valuable. The church is God's witness in the earth today, and it's a place of sanctuary, which we'll look at a bit more detail as well today, as a place of sanctuary from the curse that is all around us, from sin that is all around us, from that which has been fallen through the fall of man. We know that the church is a wonderful place that Christ loved and loves and gave himself for it. Verse 26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we see that there is a future event coming, which is that Christ will present the church to himself. But you can see that there's something that's got to happen before that, because the church that he's going to present to himself is a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, what we've observed, and we've seen it right through church history, and we've seen it right up to this present time, we've seen many people do not value the church the way the Lord does. Many people don't value what Christ has done, let's face it. And so they're all too willing to take offence, all too willing to put other things in the way of the Lord, in the Lord's church, all too willing to allow themselves to be taken out by the curse, by the devils, and so on. Now, God has given victory to his church, and obviously the church is made up of people who are born again. Now, God wants a glorious church. Now, that tells us something. He wants something, a church that reflects his glory. A church that is going to be, as the Word of God tells us, like a candlestick that is reflective of Christ's glory. And you can only do that by what he's talking about in verse 26, that he might sanctify, that is, set it apart, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, the Lord told me quite a while ago not to dumb down the word in this church, but to present and preach the word and bring people up to the level of understanding that God wants in the Word of God. It's very easy to dumb down the word, and a lot of places do that. The modern versions is a part of that type of thing. They dumb down the word because, oh no, they won't be able to understand that. God wants to bring people up in their understanding. He wants a church that is sanctified, set apart from the world and the world's ways, and is cleansed with the washing of water by the word. That's how it's cleansed. That's how wrong doctrines are cleansed away, because people start to see what the word is saying. That's how wrong thinking is cleansed away. People get their minds renewed through the word of God. That's how people can be convicted in their hearts to get their lives right with God, because the word of God pinpoints this is sin and you need to get yourself right. That's how the gospel that is presented can convict people in their hearts, and they can say, well, I need Christ and I need to be born again. So if people do come in that aren't born again, they will hear the word of God, and then we can see that they should go forward in the word, and anything that's not of the word should be washed away, and their thinking should start to get in line with the word of God. That's what Christ is going to do in the future. He's going to present a glorious church. Now, what he's doing now is he's preparing the church for some of the things that are going to happen in the future with respect to the church. One of the major things, of course, is that because the church is known as spiritual Israel, then one of the major things is that natural Israel is going to come into spiritual Israel, and in a major way in the future. And so the church has to be ready for that type of thing. At the moment, there's a lot of things that need to be corrected worldwide with respect to the church. And God is doing a work, and the washing of the water of the word is that work that he's doing, so that people get out of having men's ideas into having the ideas that are God's ideas. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a completely a comparison with what is happening when people aren't going to Christ. Now, Christ is the head of the church. Remember that. So where are you going to find Christ? Are you going to find Christ in the world and the world system, or are you going to find Christ in the kingdom of God in the church, in where what Christ has set up? Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Jesus is building his church, okay? Now, don't go by sight about that. You've got to look at the church as a spiritual thing, and in the spirit things happen and then are manifested in the physical. This is very important for us to understand that. Have a look at Isaiah 31, verses 1 to 3. This is a great comparison that I think we need to look at, because it shows where many people are at. Even some people, even I should say a lot of people in the churches are at this position. They're looking to other things for help rather than looking to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, rather than looking at the church as a valuable place and as a valuable thing that Christ has put into place. I'll read right through it and then we'll comment a few things on it. Isaiah 31 verses 1 to 3 says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help." Now, just remember, Egypt is often a type of the world, okay? It's a type of the world. It's a type of the place of sin, okay? "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord." Okay, and that's also talking about spiritual Israel. Remember, we are spiritual Israel. I'll talk about that later. "They look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words." So God is not going to be calling back his words. Remember that. His words are gone out. "And will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity." So you can see here is something God is not going to put up with. He is wise. He will bring evil, which is calamity, judgment and so on, and will not call back his words. He will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Notice what it says in verse 3. "Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is holpen shall fall down, and they all shall fail together." Now, I want you to see that in verse 1, Egypt looks wonderfully strong. Isn't that what it says? It says, "Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong." So it looks wonderfully strong, doesn't it? It looks powerful. Looks as though, oh, here's something we can trust in. There's a big problem. A big problem. And the problem is they're not looking to the Holy One of Israel. They're not going to the right place. And because they're not going to the right place, because they're not looking to the Holy One of Israel, God himself will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. And people need to see, look, the Egyptians, you know, the world, that's not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit, so we can't trust in flesh. And this is where there is a key. The key is we need to be spiritually minded. And spiritually minded means you have to go to the spiritual source. And he gives you the indication there of what we should be doing, and that is to be looking to the Holy One of Israel. Who's the Holy One of spiritual Israel? God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head. And we should seek the Lord. Isn't that what the scripture says in Hebrews 11? It tells us very clearly that we should diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. And he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we are instructed in many scriptures to seek the Lord and to not be trusting in something that might look in the flesh, in the natural, might look strong, might look as though it's prosperous and so on. But there's no spiritual discernment there, because as it says in verse 3, it's flesh and not spirit. A key thing to understand is that we must have spiritual understanding. We have to be spiritually minded and understand things in a spiritual way. If you don't value the church, I'm not talking necessarily to people just here, but if people don't value the church and they don't value in the way God sees it, because God, as we saw, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and that God purchased the church with his own blood. If you don't value the church, then you're not going to value the things of God the way God wants you to value it. And if you don't do that, then you'll be trusting in something else. You've got to trust in the Lord. You've got to seek the Lord. You've got to continually be going to the source of spiritual knowledge, which is the Lord, and that's been deposited in the church. And when I say the church, I'm talking about the local church, I'm talking about the church universal. And that's where you'll get the spiritual knowledge. Now, people are tempted to go to that which looks strong and so on. But how are we to be led? Are we to be led by what looks strong and in the natural, in the flesh, looks to be okay? Or are we to be led by the Spirit of God? I think you know the answer, don't you? As many as are children of God, they're led by the Spirit of God. That's what the Scripture tells us. So we have to be people that are led by the Spirit of God, not led by other things, not led by circumstances, not led by, various people or things that have nothing to do with the Lord. We have to be led by the Spirit, and we have to be washed by the water of the Word of God. Now, we talked about the church being spiritual Israel. Let's have a look at Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. Romans 2, 28 and 29. Now, you'll know that in natural Israel, there was a sign that they had come into the covenant, and that was the sign of circumcision. If you're not sure what circumcision is, go home and look it up. But you can see that it was an outward sign. Now we have an inward sign, and there is a spiritual thing that has happened to us that makes us part of spiritual Israel. Notice what it says in Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. So he's talking here that the real Jews, in terms of the way God sees it spiritually, part of spiritual Israel is that now we are Jews inwardly. We are part of spiritual Israel, and we have an inward circumcision of the heart. In other words, there's been a seal put into our heart now that we are of God. He now has purchased us, and now we are in the new covenant. Praise the Lord. And that doesn't mean that natural Israel doesn't exist. It's just that outwardly, yes, there is natural Israel, but they haven't come into the circumcision of the heart yet. They haven't come into spiritual Israel. Now, we know the prophecy that was given by Paul which was, he said, and so all Israel shall be saved. So we know there's a prophecy that says that natural Israel shall be saved. We know that he's not talking about spiritual Israel there, because he's talking about Israel that's not yet saved. Okay? But here he's talking about spiritual Israel in verse 29, that we are Jews inwardly with the circumcision of the heart in the spirit. So there is a spiritual thing that has happened in our hearts. We've been changed, we've been born again by the Spirit of God. And obviously, we went right through the characteristics of born-again Christians. Obviously, you've been made a new creature in Christ. And that new creature in Christ means you have new features, new things that you show to the world as a witness. Praise the Lord. We are no longer the old man, we are the new man in the heart. Praise the Lord. Let's have a look at Ephesians 1, verses 17 to 23. Now, we've looked at the fact that people now must see the church in the right way, which is as spiritual Israel, as a place of spiritual restoration and sanctuary, as a place of victory, as a place where you can get spiritual knowledge and understanding, because Christ himself is the head and he has made people overseers by the Holy Ghost so that they can feed the flock. Okay, and that's important to understand, that there is a feeding of the flock, and the flock is part of the church. So looking at Ephesians 1, and we'll start from verse 17 and we'll go to verse 23 of Ephesians 1. And here we see where the church has been put, or what Christ has done and where he's put the church now. And we have to see that it's a victorious place. It's a victorious place. And as we in the church grow into Christ, and Ephesians 4 talks about us growing up into Christ, as we grow, we become more and more Christ-like, because the church is meant to be a reflection of Christ himself. So starting from verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You're not going to get that in the world, in Egypt. Okay? You're not going to get that in Egypt. You're going to get that by looking to the Holy One of Israel and by seeking him. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So where's the eyes of your understanding? Is it just your natural eyes, where the light comes in, you know, and you've got an optic nerve taking it to the brain? And you know, there's some people that think that your mind is a result of your brain. Yeah, there's a lot to answer that. But we know very clearly that our heart and mind, the brain is merely a physical tool to be able to sense what's outside in the physical world. But what we understand is that the eyes of our understanding is in the inward man, not the outward man. Okay? That's where we have the eyes of our understanding. And it's got to be enlightened. Well, how do you get your eyes of your understanding enlightened? It's through the light of God's Word. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That's what the Word tells us. So that's how you get the eyes of your understanding enlightened. But you know, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. I value the Word. I value the church. I value Christ. The Bible says that Christ is precious to us. He's precious to us. The Bible talks about many things about the preciousness of God's Word, you know, like honey to our taste and so on. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. You've got to know. There's a knowledge what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who what? Believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, praise the Lord, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now keep in mind, Christ has been raised up, and he's far above all principalities, powers, mights, dominions, and every name that is named, not only in the world, but that in is to come. And verse 22 says, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? Church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. See, if you're part of the church, and where's his feet? It shows the church is his body. His feet is over, because it's far above all principality and power and might. And the Bible says in verse 22, hath put all things under his feet. So if you're part of the church, then things are under your feet too. Okay? Devils are under your feet. The curse is under your feet. And if you go to chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, we'll just look at verse 5 and 6. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, means made us alive, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are now, as far as God is concerned, placed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if everything's under Christ's feet, then it's also under our feet. But you've got to see yourself in a victorious position. In fact, you have to know it. Isn't that what the eyes of your understanding being enlightened means? You know it. There's a knowing inside of you, a spiritual knowledge that all things are under your feet. And so what we understand from that is once we were dead in sins, once we were dead, we were separated from God in sins. We had the old man that was dead in trespasses and sins, the old inner man. But now, because we've believed on Christ, and his glorious gospel came in, and we believed that, we believe that Jesus died for us, and that he rose again from the dead for us, and that we can live with him forever by receiving him as our Lord and Saviour, repenting of our sins. And we know that now we are no longer dead in sins. We've been quickened. We've been quickened together with Christ. By grace you're saved, it says. God's power came in, saved us, praise the Lord. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As far as God is concerned, spiritual Israel is seated in heavenly places. The church is seated in heavenly places. The body of Christ is seated in heavenly places. Now, the fact that many people who are born again don't really know that just speaks to the fact that they're don't have spiritual understanding in this area. Because you have to see yourself as part of the body, and you have to see yourself as part of the victorious church. In fact, God has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, hasn't he? He's given us the victory. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57 and 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 57 and 58. Now, this is talking to us. You know, we've been raised up together with Christ, seated, made to sit in heavenly places. All right? And this is a good thing for us to put into our mouth as a confession. And notice what it says in verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So you can see God has given. We should be thanking him. That's what it says there. Thanks be to God. We should be thanking. Thank him every day. Say, thank you, Lord. Let's say that. Thank you, Lord. You give us the victory. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord Jesus. We have that victory. We have the victory. And we should be saying, that's my victory because Christ has paid for it. He has made me to sit in a victorious place. Praise the Lord. It says, therefore, that means on the basis of the victory that we've just read about, my beloved brethren, so he's not talking to the heathen, he's not talking to the world, he's talking to brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, those are in the church itself. Be ye steadfast, unmovable. Okay, you don't want to be tossed by every wind of doctrine. You don't want to be led astray. You don't want to be looking to the wrong things. But you've got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, when you're abounding in the work of the Lord, you'll be seeking the Lord, what do you want me to do? And you'll be abounding in that, you'll be doing that. It might not be a spectacular thing. It might be as simple as just doing serving in the church. But when the Lord wants you to do something, you're ready. You're ready to do it. If the Lord wants you to speak to someone, you're ready to do that. Okay? If the Lord wants you to teach someone, you're ready to do it. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour, we're not on the earth for our own thing. We're on earth to serve God. Okay, we're on earth here to please the Lord. And it's a mission. It's a mission. And there are good things that the Lord gives to us as we serve him. And he's saying here, your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Now, this is an important thing. It's a spiritual thing that you, by faith, see through the word here that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. So you're doing things in the Lord and you continue to do things and you must say, on the basis of believing that you have the victory, that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Our labour is not in vain in the Lord. The labour we do with this church is not in vain in the Lord. And when we preach, when we hold outreaches, when we do things, it's not in vain in the Lord. We are in a victorious position. You see, if we were to go to the world, we can trust in the world. We could trust in the very strong things that are there. But that's not looking to the Holy One of Israel. It's not looking to Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. That's looking to the flesh. God wants us to look to the Spirit and to see things as they really are. Because you might look around and you say, it doesn't look like the devils are under our feet. It doesn't look like the curse is being overcome and so on. It doesn't look like there's victory in the churches. It doesn't look like that. That's the whole point, isn't it? You're trusting on what you're seeing with your eyes only. But you know, we looked in Ephesians 5 and we saw that Christ is going to present to himself a glorious church. And what is he doing? How is he doing that? How is he sanctifying the church? How is he doing that to make sure that he has a glorious church when he comes? What's he doing? What's he doing? He's sanctifying it and washing it by the water of the Word of God, isn't he? And so that's why the church, not just this church, but the churches must be Word churches. Must be Word churches. That's where the Bible is preached. In other words, people are fed and they get strengthened and they grow. But they've got to be listening. Got to have hearing ears. As I said right at the beginning, you've got to have hearing ears. You can't be just sitting and not really listening. With a rebellion in your heart, but not really listening, you can't do that and think Well, you're going to be part of this great thing. You're going to have hearing ears. Very important. Hearing ears. I wanted to get more to the sanctuary. I'll just touch on it today because we looked at the church being spiritual Israel. We'll look at more as we go forward because this is a whole area where Bible prophecy touches on in the future in great detail. But let's have a look at Psalm 134 verses 1 to 3 again. We looked at this last time, but we're looking at things with respect to the victorious church because this is so crucial for our society to change, for the gospel to be preached, for Christians to come out from being at a low level to being at a high spiritual level. All of this is so very important for this to happen. And Psalm 134, verses 1 to 3, I want to talk a little bit about this because, once again, if we value the church as Christ valued it, because remember, and I'll always be emphasising this, God purchased the church with his own blood. That's what the scripture tells us. Then we will see it in the right way. And we will jealously guard. We will jealously guard it. We won't say, oh, I'll give it up in a hurry. Okay? You'll jealously guard it. Verse 1 to verse 3. And the word jealous can be used in both good and negative sense. I'm using it in a positive good sense there. I will bless the Lord at all times. How many times? All times. All times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's where your soul should be at. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. I was looking at Psalm 34 there. And let us exalt his name together. So we must be together, exalting his name together. We must be people that are magnifying the Lord. We must have our souls boasting in the Lord himself. And we have to see that we have to exalt his name together. You won't be able to do that in anything else but in the church itself. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 9. We'll see there the mention of the sanctuary here. Psalm 20, verses 1 to 9. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now remember we saw that Egypt was referring to, was a type of the world. Well, Zion is a type of the church and where the people of God are. And send thee help from the sanctuary. This is where you're going to get help from, the sanctuary, the church. Strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen. Remember we read about that. We are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. So obviously, in a spiritual sense, talk about the King being the Lord Jesus Christ. He hears us when we call. But notice, we read before in Isaiah 31 that there were people who were trusting in Egypt. They were trusting in chariots and horses, which were very strong. It looked strong. But they were trusting in the wrong things, weren't they? And that's what it says in there in verse 7. We'll finish with this. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. Help is sent from the sanctuary to you. You're strengthened out of Zion. That's the promise of the Lord. Help is sent not from trusting in chariots or in the world or in Egypt or in horses. Let's talk about the flesh, trusting in the flesh. But help is sent from the sanctuary, and you're strengthened out of Zion, out of the church, because that's where spiritual things can come. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you. Lord, we know that you have put us in the right place at the right time. We are led by the Spirit of God. This church is not here by chance. This church is here because you have placed us here, and that there is a particular work you have for us to do. We thank you, Lord, that you are leading us. You are bringing us into a better place. You are showing us the victorious place we have. Lord, I pray that every person here would have spiritual understanding of where true help is obtained, where true strength is obtained, so there not be a trusting in the wrong things or in the wrong sources. In Jesus' name, amen.